Very good. Proverbs 5:21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his tracks. Proverbs 5:21. Jeremiah 16:17. For mine eyes are upon the ways of man, and I see all his steps. Jeremiah 16:17. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2:5. Acts 15:18. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Acts 15:18. Will you open your Bibles to John 14:15? John 14:15. In the bulletin today, you have an insert. That insert has the verses for this study today, first and second session, and the session on Wednesday night. So if you will, please take that little insert out. And that's what we're going to be looking at as we study today. John 14:15 in the first session. John 14:16 in the second session. John 14:17 on Wednesday night. I will remind you, however, that we'll be looking at all of these verses as we move along. So you won't see just one verse for each session. We want to look at these verses as we see them in totality. John 14:15, 16, and 17. Before we begin our study today, we spend a moment in prayer, realizing, of course, the importance of being in harmony with our Lord as we study together. May we pray together, please. Father, we rejoice again today that we're privileged to be here. You've given us so many wonderful blessings. We're expressing our thanks today for life and for the fact that you've given us not only life, but you've given us, through Jesus Christ, life that will last forever and ever and ever with him. And we're thankful today for the assurance that heaven is our eternal home. We are thankful for the grace of God so beautifully manifested in all of our lives. We're thankful that you've given us this wonderful book, the completed canon of Scripture. We're thankful that we live in the time between the age of the beginning of the church age on the one hand, Pentecost, the rapture on the other hand. We're thankful that we live in this magnificent time when the working of the Spirit of God is so fantastic and wonderful. We're thankful that we have the assurance that you're with us because you said you would never leave us nor forsake us. And so we bow with grateful hearts today again to express our thanks for the fact that you are here with us again today. Bless us in these moments of study. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to begin our reading with John 14:1. Even though we're going to look today at verses 15, 16, and 17. Many, many times, I'm sure you've attended a memorial service, a funeral service, and you've heard these verses read. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him, have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am the Father and the Father in me. Otherwise believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14 of John chapter 14, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, comforter, paraclete, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him, know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be with you. If you're looking at the verse 15 on the insert page of your bulletin today, you will see that it begins like this. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. All of you are aware of the fact that I enjoy tremendously how the Word of God in the original language presents to us so many beautiful, marvelous, fantastic precepts and concepts. All of you are aware of the fact that over the years we've emphasized time and time again that in the original language there are conditional clauses. A first-class conditional clause says, if and it is true. The second-class conditional clause says, if and it is not true. The third-class conditional clause says, if, maybe it is true, maybe it is not true. The fourth-class conditional clause says, if, I wish it were true, but it isn't. Now, that's putting it in a very simple way, though I could be more complicated in presenting the conditional clauses. I'm not trying to present that in a difficult way. I'm trying to present it in such a way that you'll be able to see how fantastic this verse of Scripture is. I need to tell you that the first word in John 14:15 is translated if. And some of you, after having heard this for many, many years, are able to see that the way that this little if is used here is an epsilon alpha nu, which I'm going to point to you, or point you to it. There it is, E-A-N, epsilon alpha nu. Most of you, because you've heard me many, many times, and I realize that being a good teacher, you remember what I've said. Now, that's tongue-in-cheek. I'm sure you are aware of that. But I want you to see that we have here not a first-class conditional clause, if and it is true. It is not a second-class conditional clause, if and it is not true. But it is a third-class conditional clause, if maybe it is true, maybe it is not true. Over the past weeks, I've given consideration to a magnificent congregation of people, a congregation with whom I have had the privilege of serving for more than 40 years. And I've analyzed you folk over a period of time, and I've been able to rejoice time and time again in the fact that I've been able to see that there is a desire in your hearts and lives to love God supremely, to love the Word of God and utilize the Word of God on a consistent and perception basis. Which simply means that what I'm saying to you is, out of all the many things that I've seen over the years, one word, I believe, characterizes, and I wanted to deal with that word today, and that is the word obedience. The word obedience is a magnificent word, and I want you to see how powerful it is, because it is presented to us vividly in the verses of Scripture which we have on the screen, which you have in hand in the insert. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. We've said many times that what you have in the original language is what is known as clauses. And you have what is known as an apodosis, and you have what is known as a prodosis. A prodosis is the presentation of a content, information. The apodosis is an emphasis upon a result clause, the latter part of it. It is the answering clause. What we found in the study of the original language many, many years ago is that when you have in the sentence, in the first part, which is the prodosis, if you have an epsilon iota, E-I, and then when you go into the answering clause, the second part of the sentence, and there you'll find in the Greek an alpha nu. That will let you know that that is an emphasis upon finding whether or not this is a first or second-class conditional clause. But you find, however, that when you see a contraction of the epsilon iota and the alpha nu brought together, then you will discover that something has to take place. And that is, you will have two vowels together, epsilon iota, alpha nu. In the middle of that, you have an epsilon on the one hand, a nu on the other hand, an iota in the inside, and an epsilon inside. And you cannot have two vowels together. One of them has to drop out. And that's the reason why you have the dropping out of epsilon, alpha, nu. You have now E, epsilon, alpha, nu. E-A-N. All through the New Testament, and especially in 1 John, the first chapter, you will find this particular little word, conditional clause if, used over and over again, over again. One of the verses of Scripture which you and I have learned, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you look at that in the original text, you will discover that it is this little word right here, epsilon, alpha, nu, which simply is a third-class conditional clause. It is simply saying we may or we may not confess, admit our faults and failures and sins. But it's saying if we do it, God will do what He's promised to do. He will cleanse us. He will forgive us. The emphasis of our verse of Scripture, verses today, have to do with obedience. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Lest I get too carried away, let me go ahead and let you take a look at the next verse. You will find it also on this same page. And I will request the Father, and another Comforter He will give you, that He may be with you throughout the ages. Please notice, and we're not dealing with this until we get into the second session more in detail. The Lord is saying, I will request my Father. The Lord says, I will request the Father, and another Comforter, Parakleton, He will give, didomi, future active indicative, that He may be with you throughout the ages. And you'll notice what I put here so you'll be able to see it. And I don't know how much time I'll be able to present this information, but I wanted you to see again that the information is on the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life throughout our time on the earth. I will request the Father and another And we'll get into this in a little while in the next session. Comforter. He will give you that he may be with you throughout the ages. Look, if you will, please, at the back page of the insert that you have today. We'll give you this information more in detail on Wednesday night. Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him. You know him. He's speaking to the disciples. Because he remains with you and shall be in you. What I need to do today is to locate you with the scripture. I need to take you and put you in the location of this passage of scripture. For you to realize that this is before the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ in reality. So there is an emphasis here upon the promises of our Lord in relationship to what he's going to do after his death, burial, and resurrection. Now, I get excited when I get into a verse like this and I find so many verbs. Can you see why a preacher would get excited when he would come to a verse like this and you would find 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 verbs? That would just almost make me want to stand up and shout in my office. And me to tell you that I want to talk about all these verbs. And so if you don't want to hear it, don't come on Wednesday night, please. Because I want you to understand that if you'll look at the bottom of this page that's been inserted, you'll see John 14:17 verbs. What I want you to see is, and I'm not putting this on the screen today for you, I just want you to see how the different verbs are used. It's amazing to me to see how many verbs are present tense, continuous action, active voice, subject producing the action, indicative mood, the mood of reality. All you have to do is glance at this back page of the insert and you will see 1, 2, 3, 4 indicative moods. And then you'll go down to number 7 and you'll see an indicative mood. And you go up to number 1 and you see the indicative mood. All of these that I've just pointed out to you just now are moods that reveal the reality of the situation. Now notice the difference, however. In the second one, where is the word lambano, it is the infinitive, which is a wish or desire. We'll get into that more later. But if you go all the way down to number 7, you will see that it is also an indicative mood, but there's a difference there. Because there is a future, that's the F, and a middle voice, where the middle voice says the subject participates in the action and is normally benefited thereby. I'm not going to say any more about that, though I would love to. I just want you to know that we're going to back up now again to John 14:15. I'll put these other verses behind everything else and deal with it at a different time. I want to share with you something that has really gripped me in recent days. I've already mentioned it casually, but I come now to mention it more emphatically. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Obedience brings fulfillment of God's promises. Out of all the things that I'm going to say in this first session, I would love for you to put down into your thinking, write it across your forehead, obedience brings fulfillment of promises. Jesus here made some staggering statements in the very brief verses that I've read to you today. The question that I have for you is, to whom are these statements being made? To whom are these statements being made? Well, first of all, I'll answer that. They've been made and are made here to the 11 disciples. The question is, are they being made to the 11 disciples? That's a question. The answer is yes. But the scope, His promises that are presented here, are far-reaching. We cannot miss this. We cannot miss what Jesus is saying in these verses, 15, 16, and 17. Verse 15, proof of genuine love for Him is obedience to His commands. Please write that down. Proof of genuine love for Jesus Christ is obedience to His commands. Now, if you will, please, and I have to write myself notes to keep myself on track. Now look at John 14 and verse 21. What does it say? He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father. And I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Out of all these verses, I want you to see how powerful this verse is. Look, please, at John 14, 21. Before I even ask you to go to John 14, 23 and 24. What does 21 say? He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Does that have anything to do with the 15th verse? If you love me, you will keep my commandments? Certainly. But let's look at it in detail. He who has my commandments and continually keeps them, he it is who loves me. But look on in the rest of the verse. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father. Shall be loved by my Father. And I will love him. And will disclose myself to him. Now, if you will, please, let's go to verses 23 and 24. Just a few weeks ago, we had these verses on the screen for you. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our abode with him. Verse 24, he who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. When I got to this point in analyzing these powerful verses, I capitalized, the Lord makes promises to those who are obedient. He's made promises to all. The Lord makes promises to those who are obedient. This is all tied up to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, in that He is our comforter. He is our teacher. He is our helper. It seems like this has been funeral week for us here. Seems like every day we were going to a funeral and then to a wedding. I'm telling you, this has been some week for us. At one of the funerals, we heard the word legacy. They were talking about the individual leaving a legacy. Let me tell you that we have a legacy left by our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's left to those who love Him and those who desire to be obedient to Him. A legacy. Can you imagine what the Lord has left for us? A legacy to those who love Him and those who are obedient to Him. Now, you know that I have to have some points for you. One, the disciples here are in turmoil. The disciples are in turmoil. They should have known more than they knew, but they're in turmoil. May I pause for a moment to tell you that there are many people today who are in turmoil. They're frustrated, they're confused, they're bewildered, they're perplexed. We're living in a time of perplexity. A lot of people are frustrated. They're concerned and worried about so many different things. The disciples were. The disciples are found now in the midst of turmoil. Jesus is saying He's going to leave, and they fear being left alone. That should be alone, not along. That's the only mistake I've made this week. The disciples are in turmoil. They fear being left alone. Jesus has provided everything, and now He tells them He's leaving. And as I sat there and thought about this, here's what came to my mind. Wow! So I just typed it out for you to see. In other words, if wow comes to me, wow ought to come to you. Can you just imagine how the disciples felt in turmoil? Jesus is going to leave. He said He's going to leave. They don't want Him to leave. He tells them He's leaving. Number four, they stand in need of supernatural help. Let me tell you something. We stand in need of supernatural help. The promise of the Holy Spirit is the culmination of the promise that the 11 troubled men needed. The reason why I feel like it's important for me to reiterate, recapitulate some things is because I'm fully aware of the fact that you and I do not get it if we just see it or hear it one time. I have so much information on all of these magnificent subjects. And my mind says, those folks don't want to hear that again. They've heard it before. And then my mind says, those folks didn't hear everything. They didn't get it all. They thought they got it all, but they didn't get it all because the preacher didn't even get it all. Hearing it one time is not going to do it. If I sat by your side right now and asked you to write me pages of information on the subject of the indwelling Holy Spirit, how many paragraphs would you be able to give? I'm not asking you. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm just trying to say to all of us, we can hear something many, many times, and still when we hear it again, we say, I've never heard that before. The reason was because we really didn't. We heard it, but we didn't hear it before. These disciples are in turmoil. Jesus is saying He's going to leave. They need a supernatural help. We need supernatural help. The promise of the Holy Spirit is the culmination of the promise that the 11 troubled men needed. Jesus promised, number five here, that they would not be left alone. In the next session, we'll be looking at this. It's so fantastic. In fact, it makes me so excited. Have you ever been so excited you wanted to laugh and cry at the same time? You were able to see something that meant so much to you. And it was not a crying of sorrow. It was a crying of joy. I see that as I come through these verses of Scripture. Jesus promised that they would not be left alone. Could I just go ahead? He says, I'm not going to leave you orphans. That's the word that's used. I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm going to give you a comforter. The word comforter is, as you all probably know, the Greek word parakletos. P-A-R-A-K-L-E-T-O-S. Parakletos. What a beautiful word. We'll analyze this more in detail later, but let me just show you. When you look at this word, there is it's a compound word, and it is a word that has a prefix. The prefix in this case is a preposition, and then it has what we would classify as a root word. And the root word is the word which means call, and then the prefix or the preposition means along, call along. Call alongside. You see it? Called alongside. In fact, I wrote it down for you. Can you read this? Called alongside. Now, I know theologians get into a lot of discussion about the next word. There is a word in the Greek language, heteros, which means another of a different kind. Heterosexual, for instance. And then there's the word allos, A-L-L-O-S, which means another of the same kind. Now, I know, and I'm not going to get into all the discussions that theologians give you, but I am settling on this, and it's beautiful. It says here, I'm going to give you a comforter. Another comforter. The another is allos, which is another of the same kind. Another of different kind? No. Another of the same kind. So let's see what it says. Allos then describes deity. Jesus is saying to these disciples in their turmoil, I'm sending one of exactly the same essence as me. Not just any helper, but the same type of helper that has the same attributes, the same characteristics that I have. Just like myself. Can you see this? Wake up. Open your eyes. Look at this. What's Jesus saying? Deity one, deity two, deity three. Deity two, the pre-existent Christ. Jesus says, I'm going to leave you, but I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to send you another comforter, another of the same kind, just like myself. For 3 years, Jesus had helped them, comforted them, walked alongside of them, and now the another helper would be the same. The Holy Spirit, let me show you quickly. The Holy Spirit is not a mystical power, not a floating fog, not a ghost. It just bugs me when someone reads the scripture and they read where the translators put the word ghost in there. That just bugs me. There's no such thing. The word spirit should never be called ghost, not Casper the Friendly Ghost. The Holy Spirit is a person. We actually have two paracletes. The Spirit of God within us. We can look at this in Romans 8:16. The Son of God in heaven. 1 John 2:1. For a few moments, I want you to think with me about that scripture in 1 John 2:1. The Lord says, I'm going to give you an advocate. I'm not going to leave you without a comforter, Jesus Christ, the advocate. If you look up that word advocate, it is the word parakletos, paraklete. There it is. I've put it on the screen for you. 1 John 2:1, advocate. Sometimes it's better for us to go to the passage and look at it. Would you open your Bibles, please, to 1 John? And let's go to chapter 2. Let's look at this carefully. Turn in your Bibles, please. 1 John 2, 1. My little children, I'm writing these things to you that you may not disobey, may not sin. And if anyone sins, and they will, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Do you see that? In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, advocate. What is the original word in the Greek? It is the word parakletos, paraclete. Now, I'm not preaching on this, but look at verse 2. And he is what? The propitiation. He himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. I have 10 points here, and I want to reiterate these later, but let's go to 9. The disciples now are greatly discouraged by his words, but also the words that succeeded, because it says in this verse that he may be with you forever. John 14:16, the Holy Spirit would not only come to indwell, but also never to leave. You remember the diagrams? I've had fun with these diagrams. I don't know whether I have all of it here or not. I have some of it. You remember that you have a body. And you remember that you have a soul. And you remember that you have a spirit. So that means body, soul, and spirit. Anytime I come across and have diagrams like this, I really want to show them over and over and over again. And I realize that you may not want to see them over and over and over again. But somehow along the way, we've lost the next part, which is a solid black right here. So just imagine Adam and Eve in the garden, disobeying God, and something about them dying. So imagine that center being black. They move from trichotomy, body, soul, and spirit, to dichotomy, body, soul. The Lord Jesus Christ is beautifully presented with an emphasis of an animal being killed. And not a belt, but a cloak being secured. And so we discover that upon acceptance of that provision, we have body, soul, and spirit again. But there is contamination. There's a contamination of the old sin nature. And the way Adam and Eve were after disobedience is the same way that we are when we're born. We're born physically alive and spiritually dead. When we accept Jesus Christ as Savior, we're born again. We have body, soul, and spirit, but we also have that contamination. When we were dealing with this and just fixing out these diagrams, I came up with the idea of that old sin nature being there. And the more we talked about it, the more we realized that the old sin nature really affects every aspect of a person. And so we came up with this idea. In other words, the old sinful nature affects the body. The old sinful nature affects the soul. The old sin nature affects the spirit. See that? Wow. I want you to know we'll come back to verse 16 in the next session. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, we're thankful for the fact that we realize that Jesus Christ is our Savior and that He's made the provision for all of us. And we are so richly and magnificently blessed. As we think about all that has been done for us, what is being done for us, and what will be done for us in the future, we're continually amazed. We do not deserve any of this. It is God's grace all the way. It's God's grace in salvation. It's God's grace in Christian living. It's God's grace that will one day take us home. And as we come to the close of this session, we pray for those who have never heard the Lord Jesus Christ, who have never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, though they may have heard of Him many times. They've been putting Him off. They've been delaying. They've been procrastinating. They've been saying, I'm going to do this one of these days. Help them to see that today is the day of salvation and that Jesus is the only way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by Me. So we pray that there will be those who will trust You even now. We thank You over and over again for the fact that everything that is necessary for us in life for victory and triumph has been provided for us. May we be grateful for all of Your blessings. For we pray in Jesus' name, Amen.